Morning, guys. Good to be with you this morning. And man, I've been getting a lot of grief this morning for being a Pitt fan. So, but whether you're a Pitt or Penn State fan, we can all agree this morning that we're Steelers fans. And if you're not, there'll be a time of repentance and confession after the service. No, but let me pray again, real quick, and get us ready to hear from God's word. Lord God, Father, we thank you one more time for these children, that we can see them this morning, that we get the opportunity to be a part of their lives, and we pray that you would be with them as they grow and develop, and be with us through the rest of our time here this morning. Help us to learn and grow in your word, to see what it looks like for us to run this race of life, pursuing you, Lord God, and to be an example to these kids, Lord God, and to all the kids that you've blessed us with here. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've seen these young children up here this morning and talked about that they're starting their life, and we want to commit their life to God, to run the race of life pursuing Jesus. And we want to, in the service up here, commit the parents to being leaders and raising those children, commit us as a church body to be an example to them. And I just want to talk this morning a little bit, what's it look like for us to run this race of life well, to pursue Christ well. I want to talk about perseverance this morning. I've been reading through a book called Disciplines of a Godly Man by Kent Hughes or Hodges or something like that. But it's a really good book, even for ladies it would be a good book. It's kind of geared towards men, but most of the stuff can apply to men or women. So if you're looking for a book to read, Disciplines of a Godly Man is a good book to read. But one of the chapters that really stuck out to me was a chapter on the discipline of perseverance. And that's kind of what I want to share with you this morning. And a little disclaimer this morning, a lot of my main points I stole from that book, so don't give me too much credit for the main points this morning. I kind of used his outline from that chapter. But we're talking about perseverance this morning. And one of the big things that stuck out to me as I read the chapter in that book, and the point I want to make to start out with so that we can think about this the whole way through, is perseverance is not just reactive, but also proactive. Perseverance is not just reactive, but also proactive. Kind of to illustrate this, I have a friend, and my friend, he's crazy. Like, I think there's something wrong in his head, really. I run a fair amount, and I know some of you guys run some, and some of you guys would even say that you like running, but my friend, he loves running. Like, that's his thing. He's run a couple marathons. He's run a couple, like, ultra marathon trail runs, which is, like, 40 miles through the woods. Like, I don't even know that I want to do a three-day hike of 40 miles through the woods, let alone run 40 miles through the woods. But my buddy's just crazy like that. And he was telling me, I think it's next weekend, he's running a marathon at Blue Knob. And it's a 26-mile race at Blue Knob on the trails up and down the mountain. And if you've been up there to hike or to ski, you know Blue Knob is a steep mountain. And he's going to be running 26 miles up and down this mountain. But he was telling us the hardest part of this course is going to be at about the 20-mile mark of this race. You have to pass the clubhouse. And as you're passing the clubhouse, there's a shorter race that is already finished. And all those people that finished the shorter race are going to be there having a cookout, eating food, celebrating that they're done. And you're at the 20-mile mark, hitting the wall, and you got to smell all this food and see all these people hanging out and having fun. And he's like, yeah, you're just going to want to be done there. And when we think of perseverance, that's usually what we think of, that reaction when the moment is tough, when you're hitting that wall, when you want to give up, you need perseverance to push through. And that's true. You need perseverance in that moment. But what I want us to see this morning is perseverance is also training for the marathon. Perseverance is also starting the marathon. It takes perseverance at that 2 or 3 mile mark when you're still feeling good and enjoying the scenery on the trail. And it definitely takes perseverance at that 20-mile mark and at the 25-mile mark when you got to get it out for another mile. Perseverance isn't just reactive, it's a proactive thing that we need throughout this entire race of life that we're on. If we really desire to pursue Jesus well and to achieve the goal that God wants for us at the end of life. Go ahead and open up to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, and we're going to start at verse 1. If you have your phone or a tablet, you can use the YouVersion Bible app and get the live event on there. All our verses for this morning should be on there, so long as technology is working correctly. But Hebrews 12, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and I want to pause there. We've said this a lot of times. Most of you guys probably know this. But when you see a verse that starts out with therefore, you need to go back and look at what is it there for. What has preceded that the author is referring to? And if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, it's a pretty popular chapter of the Bible. We call it sometimes the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame of Faith. The author of Hebrews in Hebrews 11 lists all these Bible characters and says, look at these amazing things that they did through faith, through their faith and their trust in God and God working through them. They were able to do all these amazing things. And now in verse 12, the author says, since we have this great example, since we've seen all that these other people have done through faith, it should give us an example that we can do amazing things too when we put our faith and trust in God. Maybe not exactly the things that those guys did, but when we live with faith in God, God can use us and God can do incredible things. We're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. It's pretty awesome to look back through the Bible and see what God did through people. It's pretty awesome to look even just around us and look at older believers and people who have been faithful for years and years and hear the stories of what God has done through them. Right, it's awesome to talk to Pastor Don and hear what God has used him to do for years and years and years in ministry. To talk to Pastor Doug and see the things he's done through Pastor Doug, through Liberty Grace. We have these examples that we can look to that encourage us that God can do something through us as well. And so as we go into chapter 12, the author is going to say, okay, here's how you do that. Here's how you live like these people did. Here's how you exercise that faith that they had that you can have as well. And there's 4 points that I want us to see in the next couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 12. Continuing on in verse 1, it said, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. So the first thing we need to do, if we want to run the race of life well, is that we need to eliminate baggage. We need to prepare. We need to get ready to run well. And I want to say that these points that we're going through, it's not going to be like a checklist, like do this and do this and do this and you're good to go. These are things that we do throughout our entire life, that we're going to continue to eliminate baggage, continue to prepare all throughout our life. But we start with this. He says we need to get rid of sin. Those things that we do that we know God doesn't want us to do, we need to fight to get rid of those things in our life. We need to look and examine our life and look at the scriptures and see what does God say we should do and not do, and we need to make our life fit God's standard and God's rule. And that's not necessarily a fun thing to do, but God has set standards for us. He has called us to do and not do certain things, and we need to get that sin out of our life. And for some things, it may be things that we just need to stop being stubborn and be obedient to God. There's some things where we've maybe just been holding on to them, and we just need to say, okay, I need to just surrender to God and stop doing this or start doing this. Just things we're stubborn about and we need to just get rid of. But then there's other sin issues that are more ingrained in us and things that we're really going to fight with. Temptations that are part of who we are and that cling to us tightly, and we have to fight and fight and fight to get that temptation and get that sin out of our life. And there's going to be things that we're going to struggle with that temptation maybe for all of our lives. But are we fighting to get rid of those things? Are we fighting to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and to remove those things and to prepare us to run well? Going back to that marathon analogy, you're not going to run a marathon well if you're eating a bunch of junk food. If the night before the marathon you go out and you have a bunch of wings and beer, you're probably not going to run well the next day in the marathon. If as you're driving to the marathon, you stop at Dunkin' Donuts and put down 6 Dunkin' Donuts, you're probably going to have a pretty miserable day running the marathon. And it's the same thing when we have sin in our lives, when we have those things we know God doesn't want us to be doing. At best, it's going to hinder us and slow us down from fulfilling the purposes He wants us to fulfill. And at worst, it might lead to our destruction. Maybe not necessarily our physical destruction, but the destruction of a lot of things in our lives. See, we need to understand this is why God gives us rules and says to do things and not do other things. Not because God's sitting up there in heaven saying, you know, I think it would be cool if you people did this. You know, that's not really my thing over here. Maybe you shouldn't do this. No, God says, I'm the creator, I'm the designer. Here's how it's going to work best. Your life is going to work best when you do it this way and not that way. It doesn't mean your life's going to be perfect. There's still going to be hard times. But God says it's going to work better if you do it the way I designed it to do. And so we get rid of sin. He also says we get rid of weights and hindrances. These are the things in our life that distract us from doing what we really want to do, from accomplishing what we were really made to accomplish. These are things that aren't necessarily bad things, but things that just distract us, that pull our attention and our focus and our time and our energy away from the things that really matter. Going back to that running analogy again, you're not going to run a marathon wearing muck boots. You know what muck boots are? Those big boots you wear out in the mud. You probably need them today just to walk to your car in the rain. Right? You're not going to wear those big heavy boots to run a marathon. It's not going to work. You want lightweight shoes that are form-fitting to your foot if you're going to run a marathon. If you wear big heavy boots, it's just going to slow you down. Not that there's anything wrong with muck boots. Muck boots are very good if you're cleaning out the horse stable. They're not very good if you're running a marathon. And sometimes in life, we have these good things, and they're good in their time and in their place and in the right priority. But when we get them out of the proper priority, when we start to let them consume more of our time and energy, they become a bad thing that hinders us from doing what we really want to do and what God really wants us to do in life. What are those things that are distracting us? What are those priorities that we need to get in place better? Are we prepared? Have we eliminated baggage? Second thing we need to do, going on in verse 1 there, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This one's point's going to seem a little bit like, duh, of course. But the second thing we need to do is we need to run. If we want to run the race of life well, if we want to live out our faith well and accomplish what God has said before us to accomplish, we need to run. There's a lot of Christians that spend a lot of time preparing, eliminating baggage, and never actually go and run. We're like the person that's like, man, it would be really awesome to run a marathon. And so they train and do all the training runs, and they get the best running shoes, and even they got the Google map of the marathon course, and they visualize their way through, and they know where they can push and where they need to hold back. And the morning of the run comes, and they stay on the couch. Or at best, they bring their lawn chair and sit by the course and watch everybody else run. That's how we are as Christians sometimes. We learn and learn and learn and know a bunch of stuff about the Bible. We know how to go out there and do stuff, but we don't actually go out and serve. We don't actually go out and share Jesus' love with other people. We have to actually go and run the race. We have to take what we've learned, the love that we've experienced in God, and we have to go show that to other people. And what's cool in this verse is it says the race marked out for you. That God has a course set out for you to run. He has things for you to do. That's what Ephesians 2 says. That God has prepared works in advance for you to do. You have a course that's yours to run. And your race, your course, looks different than my course. And that's all right. You have different things that you're going to go through in life than I go through and that Jamel's going to go through. You have different gifts than I do. You have different gifts than Jamel does. But we all have to run the course, make the most of the opportunities and abilities God has placed before us. It's easy for us to look at a guy like Josh Nipple, who's always out there doing tons of stuff with people. And I look at Josh and hear all this stuff that Josh is doing and all the time he's spending with people and caring for people. And I'm like, man, I spend like an hour with people. And I'm like, I'm ready to go hide in a cave somewhere. Right? But that's what God has set for him to do. That's what God has gifted and given him the ability to do. He's gifted me with different abilities and different things to do. And we need to be challenged by each other. We need to look at Josh's example and say, man, I could step out more and I could serve more and I could help people in need more and I need to do more of that. But also I look and say, God has gifted me with different abilities. And I got to do the things that God's put in front of me to do. And it's all right that I'm not exactly doing what He's doing. It's all right that you're not doing exactly what I'm doing. We can be challenged by each other, but we need to look at our gifts and our opportunities. We need to run and serve and share the love of Jesus in the ways that He's gifted and the opportunities that He's put before us. And so we eliminate the baggage. We actually get out there and run the race. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 2 then. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The third thing we need to do is focus. We don't just run aimlessly, but we run towards a goal. We run for a purpose. That we look to Jesus and we know the goal is Jesus. That I know Jesus and that I help other people to know Jesus. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus laid out the goal for his disciples. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Our mission, our goal, our purpose is that we would know Jesus and we'd help other people to know Jesus. Our focus needs to be on Him. That's what we're running towards. That's what we're seeking to do. It's a purpose. It's a goal that matters in life. A quote that always sticks in my mind it's the greatest danger for a Christian is not that we would fail, but that we would succeed at something that truly does not matter. The greatest danger for a Christian is not that we would fail, but that we would succeed at something that truly does not matter. I don't remember who said that, but it's a pretty good quote, right? It's not that we would fail, but that we would do something with our life that doesn't matter, because God's given us a purpose and a mission that matters eternally. And we need to run towards that goal. I played Little League Baseball many, many years ago. And one of the things that stuck in my mind, one of the lessons from Little League Baseball, was they always told us, when you hit the ball, don't watch the ball. Don't stand there and watch where you hit the ball. Run to first and look at first, because if you're watching the ball, you're not going to run to first real fast. And it still bugs me when I watch a Major League Baseball game and somebody gets up there and smacks a hit into the gap in between the outfielders, and then they run around and they get thrown out at second base. And then they show the replay, and the guy hit the ball, and then the whole way he's running down to first, he's just admiring his hit. And then he ends up getting thrown out at second. If you just hit the ball and put your head down and run, you would have been in the second easy. And it's the same thing with us in life. If our focus is getting distracted by all these other things, if we're chasing after things that aren't really what God has for us and what God wants us to pursue, if our focus and our aim isn't Jesus and knowing Him and making Him known, then it's going to slow us down from getting to where God wants us to go. It's going to slow us down from running the race well. Something else that's really cool in that verse is the verse shows us, too, where Jesus' focus was. It says, for the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. That Jesus went through all that He went through, and His focus was on joy. Then He knew that the goal of people knowing Him was a joyful goal, even though at the moment it was pain and suffering. That Jesus didn't go to the cross begrudgingly. He didn't go to the cross... I don't know what word I'm looking for there. He didn't go to the cross begrudgingly. He went to the cross with joy. Not because the cross was a lot of fun, but He knew that He was pursuing a goal that mattered. And when we pursue Jesus, when our aim and focus is on Him, we pursue something that matters, and that can give us joy. Even though sometimes it can bring pain, sometimes it demands sacrifice, it's joy knowing that this race that I'm running, what I'm going through, God is going to use it for something that matters. God is going to do something amazing through it. And so when life is hard, when the race gets tough, when we really need to dig down and have that perseverance, we can still have joy remembering that God's going to do something glorious through this, just like He did something glorious through Jesus' death on the cross. And so we focus on Jesus. We focus on the joy that serving Jesus can bring and fulfilling the purpose that God has given us can bring. And then our final point, verse 3. Consider Him, that's Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The final thing we do is we consider. We consider what Jesus went through. We consider the perseverance and love that Jesus showed to us. And we use that and let that encourage us to keep going. That life can get pretty grueling at times. That at times we feel like we're running hard, we're trying to pursue Jesus, and we're just not getting anywhere. I've been in ministry for a while now as both a volunteer and as a pastor. And one of the things in ministry is, as you're serving people, whether you're serving as a volunteer or as a paid pastor, there's times when ministry is going well and you're seeing lives changed and people are getting it and you're like, man, this is awesome. Look at all that God's doing. And then there's times when you're serving and you're pouring yourself out and you're like, is anything happening here? Is there any progress being made? Is anybody getting this? Right? There's those times when we're like, man, the love of Jesus is so awesome, and I want these people to know it, and people just don't seem to get it. And it can get grueling, and it can be tempting for us to lose heart. And that's the moments when we look to the example of Jesus. When we look to what Jesus went through, I mean, put yourself in Jesus' place. Jesus has served these people for 3 years. He's gone out and he's done all this healings and miracles and all this crazy stuff. He's preached and he's taught and he's led. And he comes to this point at the end of his life where the same people that he's poured himself out to are now crying for him to be crucified. The same people he's poured himself out to are now persecuting him. His disciples that he poured all his life into have gone. They've all just abandoned him at this point. And yet we see Jesus still continuing to go on. Still looking to that joy that was before him. Still looking to us, knowing that his continued perseverance will one day lead to us having the opportunity to know him and to have a relationship with God and to spend eternity with him someday. We consider all that Jesus has done for us when we grow weary, when we're about to lose heart. And we look to his example and say, Jesus continued to persevere. Jesus continued to push ahead. We can keep going. But we have the Holy Spirit of God in us to continue to help us to go and to move ahead and to persevere even when we feel weary and we feel faint-hearted. We can continue to run. Mazel wants to run. And so we eliminate that baggage. We throw off the sins. We throw off the things that hinder us. We run. We actually get out there and serve and share the love of Jesus. We make sure our focus is right. That we're pursuing the goal that really matters, that's really going to bring an eternal reward and eternal satisfaction and joy. And then we consider all that Jesus went through. And we let that encourage us and challenge us to go on. I just want you to take some time this week to think through, how are you running? How are you running? Do you want to run well? Do you want to run for a purpose that matters in life? And how are you doing at that? Do you need to get rid of some things that are slowing you down? Or there are some things holding you back, whether that's sin or just distractions, some things you need to get rid of in your life this week. Spend some time confessing that to God, turning that over to Him, allowing Him to work through you and remove those things. Do you need to stop just preparing and actually run? To get off the couch, to get off the lawn chair and get out there in the race, in the marathon, actually run. Do you need to get your focus right? It's so easy for us to lose focus and have all these other things that we're running after and pursuing in life. Is your focus on Jesus? Is He the goal? Is He what's driving you, what you're going towards? To know Him and to help other people to know Him and His love. And do you just need this week to be encouraged by Jesus' example? Is life getting grueling? Or are you faint-hearted right now that you just need to look and see all that Jesus did for you? all the love that he poured out for you, and be encouraged that he did that for you. And that gives you hope that you can continue on and you can continue to pour out into other people, and that God will use that effort that you're putting forth. God will do something with what you're going through and what you're giving to him in life. And I want to end with one other verse, 2 Timothy 4:7. This is some of Paul's, the great apostle Paul's last words, 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul writes there, nearing the end of his life, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Do we want to be able to end our race and end our life with those words? To stand before God and say, "I fought the good fight, I've run the race, I've poured all I can out to serve God and to serve other people." Are we running today in such a way that when we come to the end of the race, we can say, "I've run well. I've done all that I can. I followed the course that God marked out for me. I've used all that he's given me. I've displayed the love that Jesus showed me." Take some time and think and pray through those things this week. Let me pray for us. Lord God, Father, we thank you one more time for this day and for this time together. We thank you for the example of Jesus, that he ran the race well, that he gave of himself for us, just pouring himself out in love for us, Lord God. Father, we thank you that we can follow that example. Help us to throw off the things that hinder, Lord God. Help us to just pursue you and something that really matters. Help us to go and actually run and do that this week, to be servants of you. And we pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.